My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. At the very end of the life of Jesus, his last words were for a small group of people, directed to a small group of people like us. I always imagine talking to you, my Lord, in a reduced number of people because it helps me to think that my conversation is personal. And even if I am part of a family that has billions of people in the Catholic Church, in somehow, some way, I just think that you feel more comfortable with small groups. And you can do that because you are God. So the 11, and maybe some women, after the resurrection, went to Galilee, to the mountain onto which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. They were still excited with the resurrection. It was hard to believe. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this is the last part of St. Matthew's Gospel. The very last words of Jesus on this earth. Strong commandment, power, authority. I have all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I'm telling you, go, go. And make people happy. Making disciples doesn't mean to get people to my team or whatever. No, it's just making people happy. People of all nations, not Jewish people, but just everybody. Baptizing them, opening for them the gates of heaven, of the sacraments, of the peaceful relationship with God through the sacraments, that is the water of grace outpouring from heaven, should be shared for every single human being. And they need to know that there is a family in heaven awaiting for them with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are adopted, and they are clean, and they are saved, and called to be happy. And then, an important remark, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, not because I am bossy, or I want to make money, or I want to have an influence in the world, I want to have followers like in Twitter or Instagram. It's not about that. Is to obey the law of freedom to enter the kingdom of God. The second meditation in this recollection is catechesis on the family, doctrinal formation, initiative, getting involved with schools and youth activities, personal example. A lot of things going on. I was thinking catechesis on the family. Let's maybe doctrinal formation. And how would you do that? That's a very good question. How can we change the world with doctrine? But just doctrine? And I think at the very end when Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you always," it's more than just delivering a bunch of rules. It is a life that we are showing to people. It's a path. It's more than just knowledge. It's not repetition of anything. It's not remembering things. It's living in a way, right? A few days ago, I had a gift. As a priest, sometimes you may always, being a priest is a gift, as any vocation, but anyway, sometimes it's special, I gotta say. I was called to this house to give the anointing of the sick to a woman. that was literally dying. She died few hours later. When I got to the home of this family, they were all around her bed. She was in the living room, actually. Unable to speak, breathing heavily, suffering a ton with cancer, struggling with battling cancer to the last moment. And unable to speak, very thin. They did something beautiful. They put an image of Our Lady and Jesus on the ceiling because she was unable to move. And then it was so hard for her to and then they put an image on the ceiling. And then she was always looking at Jesus and Mary. That was a beautiful idea, I thought. They just taped them on the ceiling. And then she was always looking at them and they were talking. And then when you, as a priest or as a human being, when you saw someone dying, you reframe everything, your whole life. Because you realize that at the end, what you need to be happy or to be human is a very essential thing. It's just to be accepted as human and recognizing your dignity. And then when you see something like this in action or actually happening, meaning a family caring around someone that humanly speaking is not attractive and is not doing anything interesting. So this is a beautiful treasure there at the heart of the house. And everybody's around caring, kissing. We were praying the rosary. Someone was singing songs. The dad was saying, telling memories that they had together, funny memories, and it was a get-together around her, just to make her happy in her last moments. And it was very moving, very simple. Then, on my way back driving, I needed to leave, so I did something that I never do with women. I told her in front of everybody, I'm going to give you a kiss before I leave, and I want you to give this kiss to Jesus, to Mary, and to Joseph when you get to heaven from me, and to tell them that I want to see them and that I envious that you are seeing them before I do, right? And then I left. And when you realize that event, that encounter is going to happen in a few minutes or hours, it's an eerie feeling. It's beautiful, but it's scary. You touch eternity. So anyway, I was driving back home, and I thought about formation. How do you do all those things? What's the end goal of all we learn about the sacraments, the history of the church, moral theology, you know, whatever, just the liturgy, at the end, the commandments, and respect to each other, all the formation that we have as a human being, philosophically, doctrinally, technical formation as well, literature, at the end is to provide for the dignities, is to realize that we are here in this world as a part of a family that is divine. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit created us. And then, as Jesus says in the Gospel, they gave us the world to go out and to say, okay, now evangelize, but not in the sense of delivering doctrine, but just doctrine, but just giving life to the world. And that's the beauty of our vocation. Jesus, my Lord, I am so blessed. And I want to receive formation and to give formation. Without formation, without it, my life will be empty. I cannot depend on feelings. This is a very big temptation in our time to think that feelings should be the driving force of our decisions. There's an expression in Spanish that I don't know if you can translate it to English, but I'm going to try, which is very graphic because you say you are more dangerous than a monkey with two pistols. Can you imagine a monkey with two guns? It would be so dangerous. You would run away from a monkey with two guns, right? Because it's unpredictable. So our feelings are unpredictable. And they can be good. Sometimes they accompany us and we feel good doing something beautiful and fine. It's like the weather. Sometimes it accompanies us, but it's not the most important driving force. There's this cardinal that had a meeting with young people recently, and then he was talking about the importance of having formation, knowing your faith, knowing why you should do the things that you do it, and not just obeying or blindly nor following your instincts, but understanding, taking time to form yourself. And he said, if you do that, you will discover true love. It is the greatest challenge in a world where the feel-good factor, the feel-good factor outweighs any other value. And this is not good. We live in a world of mere emotions, in which life is not a project, but rather a series of moments. It's just, okay, I feel it, I do it, and then when my feelings fade away, I just stop, because I don't want to harm myself. And no, you're not harming yourself, you're just going against the grain, which is perfectly fine sometimes at least, and then you understand why, and you build a strong why. And it's not a voluntaristic reaction either, like, okay, I gotta go always against the grain, no feelings, like a robot. No, but it's understanding why, forming myself. Is this good for me? Is this making me a better person, whether I feel it or not? What's the reason of this choice that I'm making? It is important to have a reflective and examination of conscience at night, or at least during the day. What is driving me to do these things? What's my intention here? Then a stable commitment, says this cardinal, stable commitment appears challenging, difficult, but is necessary for a humanity rendered fragile by individualism. Individualism is risky and is harming us. And maybe with the mask of a feeling good doing this, I feel good, I am the center, it looks more kind of like, it's like a Troy horse, like it gets into our hearts, things that should not be there. It is precisely here, faced with these signs of the times, that the gospel offers itself as a remedy, a true medicine. And what kind of gospel? The gospel of the family. So this is what I wanted to bring to my prayer today, Jesus. To ask you for help. You told me, go out of yourself. Guys, go out. We need to change the world. We have the doctrine. You have the doctrine. I've been with you for 3 years, to the apostles. You know my life. You know the parables. You know the doctrine behind that. You know how. And now you need to share it with the rest of the world. Be more generous, committing yourselves. I'll be with you. No, don't worry. So you're going to transmit my life, not your life. So it's fine. So, you know, and I will be with you till the end of the world. So you're not alone, and it's not that you need to do anything extraordinary, but you need to understand the beauty of your mission. So my Lord, maybe help me to look around and to be more generous, not to kind of close myself to my feelings, to things that I like, and to unmask excuses sometimes that prevent me from being an apostle. What kind of friends do I have? Are all the same kind of friends? Do I have a openness to learn from people that I don't agree with in many things, but they have other virtues that I can learn? Am I open to share things with others? Am I scared of people? In this polarized world, we Catholics, we need to build bridges. Life is not black or white. There are gray areas and things that are opinions. And in any case, there are people that are confused in the best of the case. And then you just need to go and meet them without giving lessons, learning, and supporting them, and finding the common ground. I remember some years ago, I met this person from the UK. They are working, this initiative is beautiful. It's doing a lot of good. It's called Catholic Voices, maybe you know it. They're doing a lot of good in the UK. And one of the persons there running the show in this company or initiative told us, and it was at the beginning, it was like, wow, this is hard to accept. But later on, I thought, wow, you have a point. He said, you need to find a common ground when you go to, on TV shows or TV kind of a debates or whatever. A common ground, because people are not stupid. People want the good and they're confused. And then he said, imagine that you go to a debate and there is someone that same-sex attraction, a lesbian, whatever, and then she wants to have kids through artificial insemination or whatever, and then you just, you need to deal with that in the program. And then he asked the audience, we were like in a get-together, a few people, students from college, students, and then he would say, how would you start that debate? And then people were saying their opinion. Oh, I would say that this is really intrinsically bad. This is against the church. This is against moral law. And then other people, different opinions. And then he listened, this guy. And at the end, he said, you know what? Everything that you said is true. I will never start my introduction, my presenting myself in that way. Because then you are creating a wall. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, but how do you start otherwise? And then he, because you don't want to compromise the truth either, right? And then he said, well, you can start saying, wow, you want to be a mother. That's a wonderful thing. I have two sisters, both of them are mothers. And when they became a mothers, they were so happy. So you really had a dream, this beautiful dream to be a mother is one of the most beautiful things. I respect you a lot for this desire of being a mother to a lesbian, right? And I was thinking, wow, this is kind of a thinking out of the box, right? Because you are not compromising the doctrine. You're trying to find a common ground. And later on, you say, okay, I understand your feelings. I understand your desires. Now, let me explain what is, for me, the best way to become a mother. I think with a husband has more stability, because, and then you explain the whole thing. And this is not being hypocritical, or it's not just a tactical thing. It's just understanding the person. And say, okay, I want to get to your intellect and to your heart, and I want to let you know that I love you as a human being, as I respect you, and I want to find a common ground that we can share and maybe build something from there. And you need a lot of doctrine for that, and you need a lot of formation, and you need to chew your formation and digest it, and then, okay, how can I present it to the world that doesn't know anything? But they're not necessarily bad or just twisted or evil. Sometimes they are confused. So this is what our Lord Jesus, this is what I learned from you in the gospel. Your gentle approach to a woman with five husbands, five divorces. Yeah? Remember the Samaritan woman? Call your husband. No, I don't have a husband. Oh, you said the truth. You have no husband, because the one that you have now is the fifth. It's number fifth. This is not your husband. In that you have said the truth. You see, Jesus with gentleness say, okay, yeah, you see, you now you're happy because you're recognizing that this is not making you a real wife. It's just another relationship. It's a superficial one and it's not true, whatever. And then our Lord converts that woman. Or with Zacchaeus, it probably was very superficial, rich, wealthy, bunch of friends that were sinners, and Jesus goes for dinner. And then Zacchaeus says, wow, Jesus loves me. And this is the first, they didn't go to the temple to pray, or they didn't go to make some sacrifices. No, they went for dinner. And Zacchaeus said to himself, wow, he loves me. Maybe I'm interested in his doctrine after all. Maybe it's not that difficult because it is a human relationship. And then he discovered afterwards the doctrine of Jesus. And he said, hey, my Lord, half of my possessions right now to the poor. And if I have extorted anyone in anything, I will give pay over four times over. So just that's it. I mean, once I realize that there's an encounter with you and there's a meaning or a reason why I should do the things or respect people through you, through the encounter with you, then following the doctrine is easy. I mean, half of my possessions, and if I have extorted, just four times over. I mean, I don't care. I just discovered the treasure is you, not possessions. I got it. I'm free. And I happily just giving up everything. But because there was charity and encounter. So you, wherever you are now, you have neighbors. You have friends. I have neighbors. I have friends. And they are wonderful people. And we need to believe that. They are sons and daughters of God. And there's something good there, the image of the Trinity. And I want to form myself well, not to be perfect or to be just a museum kind of a guy, perfectly, you know, not protected and then far from reality, far from people they need. No, I want to be, like you say in the gospel, an apostle that goes to all nations, all sorts of situations. The light of the gospel being shed there, precisely where it's dark, precisely where there's no light. I'll bring the light. And the darker the place is, the more shining the light would be or appear. So I live in the most atheist country in the world. You have the grace to change that country or thy neighborhood or office or friend, because you are not talking about you. You're talking about Jesus Christ. I am with you always. If I were talking about me, game over, Jesus, right now. There's nothing. I mean, I'm not that inspiring. I'm not interesting enough to change the world. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's over. We lost. But it's not me. It is you that I'm talking about. And that gives me a lot of peace. And okay, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. And you know what? He's calling you to be happier and free. He wants you to be eternally in a place called heaven with him, loved, understood, forgiven, saved, healed. Turn, says Saint Jose Maria, turn your gaze constantly to Jesus, who, without ceasing to be God, humbled himself and took the nature of a slave in order to serve us. Only by following in his direction, we will find ideals that are worthwhile, ideals, formation, truth. Love seeks union, identification with the beloved. Christ brings us face to face with the ultimate choice. What's the choice? Either we spend our life in selfish isolation, myself, my problem, my Catholic friends, or we devote ourselves and all our energies to the service of others. Difficult people, pagan environments, darkness, unknown, the jungle, and then we go there with the gospel. This is the ultimate choice. And of course, we need to be prudent, right? We cannot sin in order to bring people back to God, or we cannot, you know, put our souls at risk to do that. But the words, I will be with you always, till the end of the world, in any situation, you will have my light. It's a guarantee that with prudence and with friendship, with generosity, we can change the world. The Blessed Virgin Mary did it too, right? The Queen of the Apostles. She accompanied them, the early community. Before they left Jerusalem, they were praying with Mary. And then Our Lady sent them out to, you know, the four cardinal points. Like, go. And they did it. With the encounter of Mary, with the prayer, together with Mary, they were able to face the world, to face reality with hope. Let's ask Our Lady to have this desire of formation, forming ourselves in order to be apostles. And Our Lady will be the queen of our lives. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.